We are in the middle of the Gospel of John, as you know. And this morning, we're going to look at John chapter 12, verses 27 through 23. And as I began to read this passage and think about this morning, one of the things that hit me was, I feel like we've heard this before. I feel like he keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again. And you know what? He does, because we're hard of hearing, aren't we? And that's basically what I saw in this passage, and so I entitled this, How to Miss Salvation. Not that any of us want to miss salvation, but I think we see three ways that we can miss salvation in this passage this morning. So the first way that we can miss salvation is to prefer the comfort of our own soul over the glory of God. And I say that because in John chapter 12, verse 27, where our text starts this morning, Jesus says, "Now my soul has become troubled, and what am I to say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Jesus says in this passage that his soul has become troubled. And we saw that same word a few weeks ago when we were at the tomb of Lazarus, if you remember. And it can mean disturbed or anxious, frightened. It's just, your soul is just not at rest. It's disturbed. And Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, did he? I mean, if you've read the scripture, if you've been in church most of your life, like I know most of you have, Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane asking the Father to please take this cup from me, because there was a definite struggle going on for his flesh to do the Father's will. The scripture tells us that he literally was sweating drops of blood in his stress and anxiety over the thought of going to the cross and drinking this cup of wrath for our sins. But as he says here, when he has that thought, you know, what am I supposed to say? Father, save me from this hour. He says, no, because this is the reason that I came to die on this cross. So, Father, be glorified in me. And it's like the scripture that Paul was preaching from last week that says, he who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If we love our life and comfort so much in this world that we refuse to do the will of God and believe and confess Jesus is Lord, then we cannot be saved. So that's one way that we see in this passage that we can miss salvation, is that we love the comfort of our lives and we are not willing to take that step to do the will of God. Because as we all know, if we do that, it will cost us some comfort in this life. A second reason that people miss salvation we see in verses 28 through 41, and that's that they've got blind eyes, deaf ears, and hard hearts. It says in verse 28, "Then a voice came out of heaven, 'I have both glorified it and will glorify it again.' So the crowd who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying, 'An angel has spoken to him.' Jesus responded and said, 'This voice has not come for my sake, but for yours. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself.' Now he was saying this to indicate what kind of death he was going to die. The crowd then answered him, 'We have heard from the law that the Christ is to remain forever. And how is it that you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?' So Jesus said to them, 'For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. Also, the one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light.' These things Jesus proclaimed, and he went away and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs in their sight, They still were not believing in him. This happened so that the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, would be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and he hardened their heart so that they will not see with their eyes and understand with their heart and be converted. And so I will not heal them. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke about him. So here we read that a voice came out of heaven after Jesus called to the Father and said, Father, glorify yourself. It says that a voice came out of heaven. And what do the people that are standing around hear? Some of them say it thundered. Some of them say an angel spoke. But John, who's the writer of this gospel, tells us exactly what the voice of God said, because John had understood, because John's heart was not hard, because John could hear the voice of the shepherd. You remember Jesus said in John 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice, the voice of God, and that if anyone wants to do the will of God, he will know if God is speaking. So Jesus says in verse 30, he says, this voice has not come for my sake, but for yours. And I think what Jesus is saying is that if you have ears to hear, you would hear the voice of God clearly. It's what Jesus said in Matthew 13, 13 through 15. He says, this is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. And the Apostle Paul reiterated the same thing in Acts 28 when he had been speaking to the people. In verse 25 through 27, it says, and disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Now, some people are disturbed by God saying that he will harden their hearts. But as you study the scripture, you see very clearly that God will never harden the heart of a person that has not first hardened their own heart. Like if you read about Pharaoh in Exodus, you see again and again that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then it'll say, the text will say that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But Pharaoh first hardened his heart and hardened his heart and hardened his heart until there came a day when he no longer had any say about it, and God began to harden his heart. The scripture continually tells us not to harden our hearts, that today is the day of salvation. And I believe it's a warning not to wait to respond to the voice of God when he is calling you, because one day you may not be able to. We close our eyes, we allow our hearts to grow dull, and we are responsible. Do you hear what those scriptures were saying? Their hearts had grown dull, and they have closed their eyes. It's a choice that we make. It's a decision that we make. And then a third reason, a way that we can miss salvation that we see in this passage, is to prefer the approval of people over the approval of God. John 12, 42 and 43 says, "Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, so that they would not be excommunicated from the synagogue. For they loved the approval of people rather than the approval of God." I remember when I was in elementary school, sometimes at lunch, they would serve sauerkraut. And I wanted to eat it, but I wouldn't dare, because the kids made fun of people who ate it because it was gross. It was not a common food to most people back then, and so if you ate it, you were weird. And I didn't want to be weird. And I didn't want to be made fun of, so I sacrificed sauerkraut. Now, I know that's a stupid story. But the point is, some of us are eaten up with the fear of what others think. We would rather have the approval of our peers than the approval of God. Living for Jesus is kind of like sauerkraut to some people. You're going to forever have this image, right? When you eat sauerkraut, you're going to say, this is what living for Jesus is like for some people. And they will ridicule you, and they will make fun of you if you say, I love Jesus, and I'm going to believe his word, even though the whole world goes against it. I'm going to stick with Jesus. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. They'll ridicule you. They'll make fun of you. They'll misunderstand you. They'll kick you out of their clubs and their places and their synagogues. You won't be welcomed in their presence. But it goes back again to the scripture from last week. Do you love your life in the world more than you love God? Or are you willing to give it away for the sake of the kingdom? You know, somebody once said, and again, we have the internet, right? So you read one thing that says who said it, and then 10 other sites say they didn't say it. So I'm not going to tell you who said it, because I don't know. There's a bunch of people out there that say they said it. We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. Right? I mean, I've been there. You care more about the people that you don't even know and what they think about you than you do God. The fear of man, or desiring the approval of man, was King Saul in the Old Testament, his downfall. When God told him to go and to destroy the Amalekites, he disobeyed by letting the king live and letting the people bring back some of the livestock, supposedly to offer sacrifices to God. You know, to King Saul, he said, well, that sounds like a reasonable thing, right? God, this was for you. You know, I know you told me to do this, but God, I'm doing this for you. But if you look in 1 Samuel 15:24, when Samuel, the prophet and the priest at the time, had confronted Saul about his disobedience to God, Saul responds, he says, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voice. Saul lost the kingdom because he feared people more than he feared the Lord. And so I would ask us this morning, what have we lost because we love the approval of others more than God and his approval? The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 1, verse 10, he says, for am I now seeking the favor of people or of God? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Do you see? He's saying that those two things are mutually exclusive. If we are living our lives to please people, it doesn't mean that we don't ever take into account what somebody else thinks. But if we are living our lives, basing our decisions on what we do or don't do, on what other people are going to think instead of what God is going to think, then we are living in the fear of man and we can't be pleasing God. We've heard over and over again in this sermon series on the Gospel of John what John himself said was the purpose of his gospel. He said in John 20, verse 31, he says, "These have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So John has written this, what he's written, so that we will know that Jesus is who he claimed to be. He is the Son of God. He is God himself in the flesh. He is the one who went to the cross, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one that enables us, that allows us, that makes a way for us to be able to go straight into the throne room of heaven boldly and stand with his blood poured out on the mercy seat, covering all of our sins, and cry out, "Abba, Father," and know that God in heaven is our Father. He is that one. And John wrote his gospel so that we would know that Jesus is the Son of God, the one that makes the way, and that by believing that we may have life in his name. And so I guess the application for us here, for our lives this morning, in this passage that we've read this morning, are just three questions. Am I choosing my own comfort, physical, emotional, mental, etc., over doing the will of God? What's it going to cost me? Is there some cost that I haven't been willing to pay to do the will of God? And I know what the will of God is, and I know that I have chosen the comfort of my own soul and my own life. And what am I going to do about that? Let me repent right now, right here this morning, and make a decision to do what I know God is calling me to do. That's one thing. A second thing is, am I missing Jesus and the life, the healing, the joy, and the peace that he longs to give me? Because my heart has grown dull. And my ears can barely hear. And I have closed my eyes so that I don't have to see. Has my heart grown hard? And I would ask all of us here this morning, has your heart grown dull? Has your heart grown hard? Do you long for the Word of God? Do you long to be in worship with his people? Or is there something that you know you've closed your eyes? Your heart doesn't move the way that it used to. Your heart doesn't beat for Jesus. You don't have love for his people and his church and his kingdom the way that you did. Then I would invite you this morning to come and to say, "God, I repent. My heart has grown dull. My ears can barely hear. And my eyes, I've closed them. I confess, will you soften my heart? Will you open my eyes? Will you open my ears? Because I want every single thing that you have for me in this life. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see your will be done. I want to see your glory in this place." That's what I believe God is calling Three Point Bible Church to. And finally, the question is, am I letting another person's opinion of me and what I do keep me from following Jesus with my whole heart? Am I afraid someone will make fun of me, laugh at me, misunderstand me? Do I really care more for their approval than for God's? Where is your focus this morning? Is it on God and his will and what he wants, or is it on what other people think and what they want? So I invite you to come to the altar this morning. But I've asked Paul to come and sing the old Keith Green song, My Eyes Are Dry. So if your heart is hard, if your heart has grown dull, if your eyes you've closed, if your ears can barely hear, if you're living for the approval of man instead of the approval of God, if you're choosing your own comfort over doing the will of God, then let's get it right this morning. Let's get it right this morning, because you know what? There is nothing better. There is no place better to be than in the will of God, knowing that you are completely innocent and you've let him have his way. It's not a bad thing. It's hard. But he is always there to comfort, to encourage, to carry that burden. So I invite you to come. Father, we just pray that you would move, that your Holy Spirit would move in this place, that you would soften our hearts, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears, Lord, because we can't even do these things for ourselves. Lord, we've tried. We've tried. We can't do it for ourselves, but we humbly ask you to move in this place and in our lives, and that your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen.